Live from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, the Total Education Show, the talk shop for teachers, parents, and administrators. Here's your host of the show, Neil Haley, the Total Tutor.
We're back to the Total Education Celebrity Show on the Total Education Network, TotalTutor.net, for more information. Wow, the celebrity segment, and I was talking to the agent of this superstar, and he's huge, in the Philippines, but I think soon he will be huge as well in the United States. So I want to welcome the program, Jericho Rosales. Jericho, thanks for calling.
Hey, Berg, good evening. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic. How about yourself?
Yeah, I'm good. We're having fun. We just got here at Palm Springs and we're just having dinner. But we're good. We're good. We're just settling in.
All right. Well, fantastic. And our topic to educate people specifically is kind of going from a singer to a movie star and also a producer. Were you always, did you start out in singing in your career?
Music's really my first love, but I started as an actor. I joined a personality contest, I started as a host and then became an actor and then pursued singing some 8 years ago. So I write my songs and I used to be with a band, and then now I'm into co-producing, producing things like concerts and albums and now this film Breakaway.
And I'm sure that makes you excited, especially, and you're going in the position of starting out in music and loving music. And once you looked at a difference, I guess, of acting and also producing, it's different in certain ways, but also it's the same in ways as well, because as a performer, you're performing in just a different way.
Yeah, I enjoy doing all things. I mean, both things, like music and acting. But with music, when I perform on stage, it's you get a faster response. You know, like you get to connect with only the people, and I love that. I love talking. I love communicating with people. I like singing for people, especially the songs that I write. Making movies is a totally different thing. It takes patience. It takes time before you finish the product, but it's all good. You know, I have fun being on the set. I enjoy working with actors, especially with my directors. But at the end of the day, it's both soulful, it's both fulfilling.
All right, let's talk about and educating our audience about Breakaway. And specifically enough, I know it's already award winning. It's an independent film, but what kind of gave you the idea of the story? What was the whole thing, and then seeing specifically enough where it could go from there? Was there like some creative juices that said, you know what, this sounds like something really interesting?
When Ian wrote the film, Ian's the director, Ian Lorena, he wrote the film and then he sent it to the office and he said, you know, he got me in mind to do it. And I started reading it and in the first few pages I already made the decision to make the film. It's a film about human trafficking, and the story goes about, around Robert and his son, whom he lost in the mall. He goes on for a search. He goes to deep in Manila, and he goes to Hong Kong to know that his son got kidnapped. And he partners with the police, and things happen in Manila, things happen in Hong Kong, and stuff. And it's a great twist to it. The film has a heart as well. It tackles human trafficking, so it's sort of like an advocacy film. But the director and the writer, who's a writer as well, gave us some freedom to work on the lines, to work on the scene. He gave us a script with just bullet points, and the lines that came out were just, most of them were like impromptu lines with the boys. It was so much fun doing it. It was just, there was so much freedom, and so much liberty doing, working on Breakaway.
Well, it sounds like it to me in so many ways, because again, trafficking is something that a lot of people don't know about, especially in the United States. It comes out in certain aspects, but I guess speaking of it going all over the world, I guess that really spoke to you once you got the script and saw this and said, wow, this is something I really want to get the word out about how horrible it is and how it's going. And I guess that's where you said, okay, I really got to be involved in this.
That's exactly how I felt, especially in the Philippines. People don't know about it. They don't even have a local term for it. So when I got it, I said, you know, people have to see it. So the co-producing came in, and we've been partnering with non-government organizations that that, you know, help spread word. I mean, spread the expose on human trafficking. We've worked with USAID and a Call to Rescue, which is based in the Philippines. So, you know, things like that. It's fun doing it. It's something with meaning and with purpose.
It's definitely sounds like that. And how about being involved where this is going to launch in the United States? What do you think the reaction is going to be in the U.S. about this once they see the film?
That I don't know, bro. I'm just very excited to be here at Palm Springs. It's we recently just came from Korea to show the film as well. We were well accepted, and we got great reviews, and people loved it. They were crying, they were laughing. They, you know, after the film, they were waiting for the credits and stuff, and they were throwing questions at us. I'm hoping for the same thing. I'm hoping that people get interested in the film. It's in Tagalog, but with English subtitles. But people stuck to their chairs, and you know, just finished the movie, and it was fun. It was fun being there. So I hope that here at Palm Springs, you know, we get noticed and we get the same reception.
So is it going to launch first in the Palm Springs area or anywhere else in the United States? Where, what are they looking for there? Where it starts out there, or it depends on what the response is there, if it goes in other theaters across the country?
Yeah, well, now from Palm Springs, we're hoping for, you know, some like distribution deals and stuff. I don't know, but we're supposed to go to Italy in April, so to bring a film there as well. But mostly, I don't know. We'll see. I'm just gonna enjoy this experience and enjoy Palm Springs Film Festival.
Well, you're at the festival there, and then going on from there, just promoting the film everywhere. Is this kind of giving you an idea that you might want to produce again after this experience?
Yeah, definitely. I'm actually on the prowl for some scripts. I've been connecting with my friends here in LA and just thinking of how to make movies, you know, how to connect the Filipinos and the Americans and the Philams and the States and in the Philippines. So, you know, just continuously working and searching and stuff. You know, we know that's going to happen again soon, but I love it. I definitely love it. I'm definitely doing it again.
That definitely sounds like it. And I always talk to artists, and, you know, they have a variety of backgrounds. And I think it's so great to kind of diversify yourself, not just be a singer, but do more than that. Because when you're dealing with entertainment, you can't always juice one thing, because then you get pigeonholed and you never get the opportunity to have experiences like you're having now.
Exactly. So there's just too many things to do. And, you know, I mean, as you grow up, as you mature, you find out things that you want to do. And then that's exactly what's happening to me right now. I'm going all over the place just to discover myself and, you know, what I really love doing. And it's just being here in the industry. So this is, I think, my way of sharing my skills and reaching out to the people.
Well, it sounds like that, Jericho. And how is the music going? I know you're huge in the Philippines. When your agent told me about you and said he is an A-list star, I said, okay, I'm going to have to do some more research on him, because this just came to me today. And I'm like, okay, I'm excited about interviewing you. But you're huge in the Philippines, aren't you?
I said
you're huge in the Philippines, really popular in the Philippines, aren't you?
Yeah, well, I started when I was 16, so I've been there for quite some time now, doing all sorts of stuff, and it's fun to be in the Philippines. I mean, Filipinos are really warm. Filipinos love music. They love to sing, and writing is something that gives me, you know, joy. So whenever I share my music with them, you know, I just feel so honored that it reaches radio stations and people buy my albums, and it's just fun. It feels like I'm, you know, I mean, you're at home. People love you, and they want more of what you do. So Philippines, it's a supportive country to its own music.
Well, it's definitely sounds like that, and so you're very humble in a way. I'm saying you're a superstar, and you're not going to validate that. That's okay. I mean, I think that's a good thing. I guess that's a good thing. And are you hoping that your music starts to get more and more popular in the United States now, with the film being out here and exposed out here as well as an actor that also the music world as well?
That's not a bad idea at all. I'm gonna, I have some songs in English. I'm gonna continue writing songs in English, maybe produce an all English album and distribute it here, maybe in some places in Asia, because I got some following in Africa and Cambodia and Malaysia. So, that's in the plan too. I really wanna do something here in the States. That's not a bad idea at all.
Well, it's nice to be, especially in Hollywood, and have those opportunities. I was checking your film credits, and a lot of it has to do with other countries. So you're hoping now, wow, I'm getting myself out there. People, especially with a great agent like you have, oh my gosh, she's awesome, that you're finally going to get this opportunity. They're going to say, wow, there goes Jericho. He's fantastic internationally. Someone in the U.S. has to take them to the next level, and maybe Breakaway will be it. And I'll be thinking of you to hopefully that happens. And then hopefully you come on my show when you become A-list everywhere. Here's the question I wanted to ask you, Jericho. Ultimately, when you're thinking about your success and looking at all the different things happening, how can you explain, when you're an international superstar like you are, how, again, the United States is missing out in this? Unlike you're talking about your popularity all over the world, why is it that globally we don't see that like other things? Yeah, I mean, currents, look at how our global markets and different things, but superstars in certain countries are kind of unknown in others. Why is that? Because you're traveling from country to country, and you're seeing your fans and your followers, and you say to yourself, why is that? Why isn't it we have not become this global society yet in a lot of ways, especially with culture and music and stuff like that?
You say why is it that I'm not out there yet? Sorry,
that's okay. I know you have a little noise in the background. The question is, why hasn't we become a global society when it comes to trends and different things? Like you said, you're very popular in certain areas. Why doesn't that equate all over the world? I'm just kind of figuring that out.
That's a good question. It's tough out here. Basically, I think it's number one, it's language. It's the projects that I do. So most of my projects are stated in English. And I've been just spending time in my own country doing local projects that fortunately reach other Asian territories. But now it's just, I think, a matter of going out there, looking for the right project, just working with other people, not only from the Philippines, but just really concentrating on international waters. I think it's not impossible at all, because there are a lot of Filipino filmmakers that make it to the festivals. It's just the timing and the right project, and a lot of prayers, I think.
Well,
I'm starting right now.
Well, I'll keep you in my prayers, because you're at least getting out of a subject that needs to stop. We have to stop human trafficking. And if your film is able to do something to kind of end that or decrease that, and so people really know what's going on, especially in the Philippines, I think you're doing a great service. So my prayers will be with you for success and to be really successful in 2013. So where can we find information on you to learn about the film and yourself?
You guys can follow me on Twitter. It's Jericho_Rosales, and you can just I'm gonna spread details right there. And how do I do this? I'm not sure about the my director's website right now, but in a few moments I'm gonna post it on Twitter, so you guys can find out about the movie. You can Google Breakaway Film, and you can look for the teaser online, stuff like that. Hello?
Oh, I'm hearing. I'm listening. That's great. Awesome. Well, continued success. Yeah. Jericho, I know that you have a lot of fun things to go on the rest of this evening. I appreciate you taking the time to talk to me.
Thank you.
We'll conversate on Twitter, and I'll follow your career through Twitter, and hopefully we'll have you back on again to tell us the great success of Breakaway.
I'll follow you back.
Okay.
Yeah, I hope to meet you soon.
All right, you take care now, Jericho. Okay.
You too, man. God
Bye-bye.
Bless you.
God bless you, too. All right, take
Bye-bye.
Care. Okay.
Okay.
You're listening to the Total Education Celebrity Show, and we'll be back in just a moment. We're back to the Total Education Celebrity Show on the Total Education Network, TotalTutor.net for more information. Well, you know what? This is one of my favorite guests in the world because she was one of my first celebrities. And I think every time I see how popular she's doing in so many different aspects of her career in Hollywood and things like that, and especially being a French actress and how she's just really creating a huge following. So I want to welcome the program, Claire Doden. Claire, thanks again for calling.
Hello. Thank you for having me with you today.
Oh, it's great to talk to you and find out what's going on with you. I like to have certain celebrities come on, tell us what their upcoming projects are, and then we kind of find out where you're setting your goals for 2013. So tell us some of the latest projects you're working on.
Well, I've just done a play in France, in Los Angeles, which is a little strange because you'd think that there aren't that many French people in Los Angeles, but there are. And we had English subtitles, so the Americans who would come and see the play could still understand what was going on. And it turned out to be a really big success, so it looks like we're going to do it again in probably in February or March. So that was a silly comedy, all in French, in the very French tradition of comedy, and that was really fun. So that's what I've been doing for the last couple of months.
So what's the difference between, I guess, the being a film star and then going into a play? Is that different for you, or have you had experience acting like that?
Yes, it's very different, because with the theater, you have an instant contact with the audience. Basically, if you say something funny, instantly they laugh. So you know that the work that you're doing is working, and you have a real interaction with the people who are watching. But then when you do a film, you're on the film set, and you don't really know if what you're doing works or not. You only know months later when the film comes out. So I personally, I love the cinema, but my heart really lies with theater.
Well, it sounds like it. So, and give us examples, because this is a great thing in education. I guess learning your lines in a movie compared to a play, what do you think? Do you think you have to understand them more and understand your character more because there's not different takes when you go live in the theater compared to where they can just kind of eliminate things from the cutting room floor when it comes to the full-length feature films?
Yes, it's true. And I think as an actor, you have more control over what you're doing when you do a play than when it's a film. Because on a film, you do many takes, you don't know which one they're going to choose, you don't know how they're going to cut the movie. So your performance really very much relies on all the other people who are working on the film. But in a play, you're there, and it's just you, and it's instant, and you can't erase what you've done. So it's also more risky on stage. But it's also why it's more pleasurable, because you have the adrenaline rush of the risk that you're taking.
And I remember the adrenaline rush when I was a professional wrestler, that, you know, you can't take, here's take three. What's so great about doing radio interviews when they're not live and you're recording, you mess up severely. Even though I try to run everything live as much as possible. Last caller I had on the line, you know, the phone started to get off and I'm like, oh no, because I'm doing the production where I'll have to redo some of that stuff. But again, when you're live, forget about it. It's what you do.
It is
what it is. So tell us a little
but
bit about.
Often,
go ahead.
Yeah, I was just going to say that often when it's live, the accidents are happy accidents, because you can have like amazing things that just happen because they are in the moment and you have to save what's going on. And I think I like the accidents. I like when things go wrong because it's more fun. It changes from what you've planned and then it becomes instant. And I love that.
So were you excited to be doing a French film? I mean, a French theater, because now finally you get to speak your language, your native language.
Yes.
And you're like, oh my gosh. And now I get to hang out with a bunch of people that understand my language and really something to bring to the people in Los Angeles. That must be really exciting to go through this whole project.
Yes, it was fun, and I haven't done anything, a play in French, for about 10 years. So at first I was like, oh, I don't know if I can do a play in French anymore. But it was fun. It was fun to hang out with French people. It felt like it was a little bit of France that was coming to Los Angeles, and that was fun.
So the other actors there, were they movie actors, or have you worked with some of these people before, or were you kind of together because of you being pretty well known in Hollywood? The people you were working with, did they have as much experience as you, or did they go for the better?
There was a mix of everything. I mean, I had worked before with maybe three of the actors who were on stage. That's why we ended up working together, because we knew each other. And then we got some new people as well who had never done theater before. It was a mix of a bit everyone, and it was really interesting because of that, because everybody came from a different experience. So we all had something to teach to each other. It was great. I loved that.
So for your part in the play, what was your character about? Tell us a little bit about the character.
Okay, so the play is set at the French consulate in Los Angeles, and I am the person who takes care of the weddings and divorces and all that. So my character is somebody who thinks that she knows everything about relationships, but of course she doesn't. And that's where she finds herself always caught in the middle of the dramas of the other people. And she ends up being the one on the wrong, the receiving end. So it was really fun. It's really fun.
Well, it sounds like it. So were you one of the main stars of this play, or did you have a pretty big role?
Yes, but I mean, everybody on stage pretty much had the same length of lines and all that. All the characters were important. We had 10 characters, and everybody interacted with each other, and we were pretty much all the time all together on stage. So it was really an ensemble piece, which is why it was really fun, because we were all interacting and playing off each other, and it's a fast-paced comedy. So for us on stage, it was really, really fun.
So what was the
So what was the
producer's whole goal of setting something up like this? I think you were excited when you heard about the project, and did the producer really see, hey, there's definitely a place for this in Los Angeles?
Well, that's what we were wondering. You know, I think the producers were French, and they wanted to bring some French culture to Los Angeles. And it turns out that we do have an audience, and that it went really, really well. So they're talking about maybe we're going to go on tour. We might be going to the East Coast. So we'll see how it happens, because there are also a lot of French people in New York, in Miami. And we had a lot of Americans as well, a lot of Francophiles who wanted to see a play in French. If their French wasn't very good, they had the subtitles to help them out so they could understand.
That's very cool. So what's the goal of the producer? Is the producer, the executive producer, hoped that, like you said, this is going to go not just in Los Angeles, but how's the response been in L.A. so far?
The response is really, really great. Really great. Yeah. We were actually surprised that we filled up the theater, and the word of mouth was really good. People laughed a lot, which is why I love when you're on stage and you hear people laugh every other line. You know, it's just great. So this is why I think the play is probably going to go on tour, and at least we're going to do another run in L.A. And maybe we had some producers from movies who came to see the show as well, and who said it would make a good movie. So we may end up making a movie of it.
Oh, wow.
That would be really fun. But then I'm dreaming. You know, I don't know exactly what's going to happen. But it was a very, very positive first time that we did a play in French. Because this is rare. You don't have plays in French in Los Angeles. So.
Oh, well, I don't think so. And so I guess what ultimately, through the process of going through this, do you have any other gigs going on when you were doing that? Were you doing other things, multitasking, not just through the play every night and then I guess all the practices? But I'm sure that you have other businesses as well and different ways that you work. So did you keep busy even when going through this entire play process?
Yes, I was pretty much working from 8 a.m. in the morning until midnight every day. That's the good thing is that when the play stopped, I was like, oh, I can breathe. But finally, I have some time. But I loved it. You know, I love working, so it was great.
So tell us some of the other projects going on that you're doing right now.
Well, I still do a lot of voiceover work, and while I was doing the play, I actually worked on Life of Pi. I don't know if you've seen the movie.
No, I have not. Tell us a little bit about it.
It's absolutely beautiful. It's a gorgeous movie. You need to see it. And in the movie, basically, there are scenes that are set in France or in Canada and in the French parts of India. So when they shoot a movie, sometimes they don't record sound because it's easier for the shoot to have a clean sound with the main actors who are talking in the front, so nobody at the back and on the side and on the side shots are talking. So then afterwards, once they finished editing the sound, you get voice actors like me to go into the studio and then give a voice to other characters that weren't recorded during the shoot. So I basically do the little additional voices of if you have a character that walks past and then that's talking on the phone, for example, then I would do the voice of that character.
Oh, that's cool. Who were the stars of Life of Pi? Tell me about that, just to remind our listeners that might have not got to see the movie.
The lead man who's in Life of Pi was in, what's it called? Let me look for it. You know him because you've seen the movie. I just have a blank right now.
That's okay. Well, once you find it, you can come back to me on that question. That's the great thing about the cutting room floor and different aspects. I guess so. You're doing other voiceover work as well. That's the interesting thing, that you came on our show last time and talked about voiceover work and stuff.
Yes.
There's lots of work for French voiceover in Los Angeles then. Tell us other things. What? Yeah, go ahead.
Slumdog Millionaire. There we go. That's what I meant.
Okay.
The leading guy was in Slumdog Millionaire, which was another amazing movie. I don't know if you've seen it. And Gérard Depardieu, actually. There was a French Gérard Depardieu in Life of Pi as well.
Okay. So, no, I was saying other gigs, when you do other voiceover gigs, why is there a lot of work in L.A. to do that?
There is a fair amount of work. For example, I do quite a lot of dubbing as well. The American movies, they need to be dubbed to be so they can be broadcast on planes. Don't necessarily come out in France, because not all the American movies make it to the cinemas in France, but most of them will make it to the planes. So when you travel from New York to Paris, for example, you have all sorts of movies on the plane. And chances are you've heard me dubbing one of the characters on there, if you've watched the French version.
Very, very interesting. But what I want to do right before the end of this, and I want one other question of projects, but I want you to, for our French audience, again, we're on two stations in Montreal, Canada, so I want you to kind of give us a little French shout-out after that for them. But let's go right specifically. So are there anything else? Are you doing any movies right now, or are you doing any TV?
I have a couple of movies that I'm going to shoot soon, but I haven't started shooting them. Because I was doing the play, I really didn't have time to go to auditions or to do things like that. So I have two projects that are going to come up, but I'm not shooting anything. I'm just enjoying having a little bit of time off.
So you have some movies lined up after you take a little bit of a break after that long.
Yes.
Oh, well, that's fantastic. You'll have to come back on. I want you to be a monthly guest. Tell us the latest projects, different things. Bring on some of your other French actors and actresses to kind of, introduce themselves. You can be on with them and tell how you knew them and how you met them and a lot of fun things, because it'll be a blast. But give us a French shout out to people listening in Montreal. Go ahead and say hello to them in French.
Bonjour à tout le monde qui nous écoute de Montréal.
All right. And so I put you on the spot on two things. Don't worry, I'll get rid of that whole thing where you're typing up to find out information on the character. But what a awesome always to have a conversation with you. You also were promoting, I saw on Facebook, the whole thing with Spike TV, the things that you filmed a year ago, but now they're finally airing on Spike. Are you planning on doing anything else after those are all aired to do more of this?
I hope so. It would be great if I did. I love working for Spike. I did a couple of shows for them, and then they keep rerunning them, which is awesome. So if I have missed them, then I can see them again. That's cool.
And I guess looking at so other types of things in the works like Spike, I'm sure that'll be coming up for you as well. And then also your radio show. How's that going, the podcast? Are you still doing that?
Yes, we've just finished the third season. Right now we're on a break. We're going to record the fourth season, I think, in about 6 months. So the fans will have to wait for the fourth season. But yes, I'm still doing it. It's still going strong. It's still awesome. And you can still get it for free on iTunes. It's the Zombie Podcast. We're live.
All right. Well, fantastic. So, Claire, where can we find information on you and learn more about you?
Yes, of course. If you want to know more about me, go onto your computer and type in Claire, C-L-A-I-R-E, .dodin.net.
All right. Well, Claire, thanks again for coming on the show. Always a blast. Looking forward to, I guess, you bringing on one of your friends for the segment next month. But have a good January. We'll talk in February. All right?
Okay. Thank you so much.
All right. Take care, Claire. Okay. Bye-bye.
Take care, you too. Bye.
All right. You're listening to the Total Education Celebrity Show on the Total Education Network, and we'll be back in just a moment. We're back to the Total Education Celebrity Show on the Total Education Network, TotalTutor.net, for more information. And this is an interesting one that I met first on the Beach Lifestyle radio show, and she has such an interesting background. And for people that have not got the chance to listen to her before, I think that the first thing I think about is her famous father, but I guess she's definitely famous in her own right. I want to welcome the program Hazel Clark Riley, Olympian, and much, much more. Thanks for calling.
Oh, thank you so much. Good to talk to you.
It's going to be great to talk to you, especially looking forward to now having a monthly segment with you and sharing such great information. But I wanted you to tell our listeners your background, your background as an athlete, and also your famous father, and we'll go into the foundation.
Okay. Well, I am a three-time Olympian in the sport of track and field. I'm an 800-meter runner, so I run two laps on the outdoor track. And I got into track and field reluctantly. I come from a family of track and field athletes. My brother was my coach, and my older sister is a four-time Olympian, but I really didn't want to run, and so I tried every other sport and wasn't really good at anything and ended up being a track athlete. So that's how my career began.
Oh, very, very interesting. So you were an Olympian, you were in, and track was your thing, and then also tell our audience about your father as well. Go ahead with that.
Well, my father is Joe Clark, the subject of the movie Lean on Me. Morgan Freeman played his role, and obviously, he's had a great career being on the cover of Time magazine. You know, there's so many things that I could talk about. But what was the biggest inspiration for me was that he always, you know, told us basically whatever we did, just to do our very best at that. And that's what he kind of instilled in all of us, my brother, my sister, and I. And so I try to do that in everything that I do. I wasn't, as I said, very good at a lot of other sports, like figure skating, for instance. I was terrible, but he demanded that I get out there, do my best, you know, show up for practice on time. He instilled those values in me, and they helped me continue to be successful. So, yeah, my father, you know, he's a great man and a big part of my life, and both my parents, you know, were a big part of helping me be the young woman that I am now.
Well, that's fantastic, and I think now let's talk about the foundation that your father's involved in, looking forward to next month's segment, having him on with you in a call. That's going to be awesome, especially for our education fans. Again, the celebrity show kind of talks about their charity foundation, projects that are going on. So we'll always figure out ways to talk to about what Hazel Clark is doing. But now tell us a little bit about the foundation and stuff.
Well, it's in the beginning stages. My father always told me to live a life of service, you know. In other words, give to others. It's not really about the medals that you've won or what kind of car you drive, but being able to impact people's lives, and he's definitely done that. And we want to continue to give back to the community through various programs. These programs are going to support young people and furthering their education. We're going to do a lot of different things, some hopefully trips that will expose a lot of inner city kids that might not have the opportunity to travel as much. And we're working on it now. It's very, very exciting. Definitely want to get a scholarship and an honor going. And that's basically what it is right now. developing his website, just all of those exciting things. So my father's going to come on and talk some more about the foundation and what he's doing now. But I just hope to be able to continue his legacy, really.
And it's very interesting, I guess, through the movie, through your career and track, he definitely sees, and I guess your sister as an Olympian, that he giving right. back in the community. So Joe Clark is, you guys were not always in L.A. then, right? You lived somewhere else before, right? Am I correct? Is the movie?
I'm sorry.
No, the Joe.
Movie?
Yeah.
Okay, well, a lot of people ask me a lot of questions about the movie, and the biggest question I get is, was it really like that? I mean, was it really like that growing up with your father? The depiction of him, is it accurate? It's very accurate. Everything that happened in the movie happened in real life, living through it as his daughter was pretty amazing. And some of the things that he did and the chances that he took and being so passionate about young people, that was real, and he lived that. And there were a lot of things they didn't even capture in the movie. But, I mean, it was an amazing experience. It's all very accurate. Morgan Freeman came to our home and followed my father around and had to learn how to dress and talk like him, and he did a great job portraying my father.
So the question I was asking is, again, the movie, where it said it took place and compared it, did it say it took place? I saw the movie before. It was in L.A. or was it, were you always from L.A., Hazel? That's what I was asking.
Oh, no, I'm not from L.A. The movie was based in New Jersey. I'm from New Jersey, actually.
Okay.
I'm sorry, I couldn't hear you.
That's okay. Not a problem. Okay, so it was based in New Jersey. I got you. But is your father living in L.A. with you now as well in the same area, or is he in Jersey?
Living in L.A. I'm actually in between Tennessee, Atlanta, and New Jersey right now. My father lives in Florida, near the University of Florida, where I graduated from. And so, yes, no, there's no L.A. Just he had to travel a lot to L.A. For the second premiere of the movie and all, but he lives in Florida.
Oh, he lives in Florida. Okay. I'm getting confused. I think that all your friends, like all of Jerome's friends live in L.A. No, that's not the case.
Oh. Okay.
That's not the case. Okay, so specifically, I guess the charity is going to, the foundation is going to be based in New Jersey, or are you looking at Florida? Where is that? What's the thought process in that?
Well, we're going to do a big event that will probably be in New Jersey. That's where my father's ties are. That's where the high school, Eastside High School is. So we'll probably do our biggest event there, but it will be based, I think, nationwide. That's our goal. I don't think that we have a specific place that we're going to target, but I would think that we'll start in New Jersey since his biggest base is there, and that's where everything happens, really. So.
Well, how cool. That's cool, and I'm sure you're excited about that process and getting the word out, and will help in any way to try to help promote. Do they have a name for the organization that you're trying, or are you all in this the beginning stages? Do you have a name for it?
Right now, we're looking between two names. We are in the beginning stages, and we're deciding between two names, so hopefully my father can talk in more detail about the name we choose and the programs that we're going to do as we develop.
All right. Well, let's go to the next topic, which interests me a lot when you kind of mentioned you're doing some stuff for NBC now. That must be really cool.
It's really cool. It was always a dream of mine to work in TV. That's my real passion. That's what I always wanted to do. And I had a setback this year. I was training for my last Olympics, and I got injured. I was very disappointed and very down, and I was literally sitting in the stands at the Olympic trials feeling really sad. And I get this call where they happen to be an Olympic analyst. And everything kicked off from there, and I've been doing some commentating, some events for NBC Sports, and it's been exciting. It's been a dream come true. So, yes, I'm really enjoying it.
So what's the latest project you're doing with NBC?
The latest project that I just did was the Jesse Owens Award, which honors the best track and field athletes in the country. I was on the red carpet asking questions to athletes like Adam Nelson, Allison Felix, some of our top athletes. And it was really exciting, very enjoyable. And I'm also working on some documentaries with an Olympic teammate of mine, Olympic gold medalist Dwight Phillips. And so we're going to do a lot this year. It's pretty exciting.
Well, it sounds like it, and that's that process. And you're also working in TV in other ways, too, right? Not just with NBC, correct?
Oh, yes. I'm working. I worked on my local station. I'm basically doing really any project. I mean, like I said, I enjoy it so much. And I enjoy being in front of the camera. I enjoy connecting with people. So I'm doing really any project that comes my way. And I've been fortunate that some pretty cool things have come my way.
Definitely. Let me ask you a question, I guess, a talk show host to talk show host. You have your great interviews and you have your so-so interviews. I think that the preparation's the key, but also, I guess, feeling comfortable in front of the camera is key, isn't it?
Oh, definitely. I mean, people can tell when you're comfortable. People can tell when you're genuine or you're just kind of going through the motions. And my big thing is I try to talk on camera as though I'm talking to someone, you know, face-to-face, whether there's an audience in front of me or not. And I just try to connect with people and just be very real and very warm, and that's my natural personality. I really do love people, and I think that's what helps me be pretty successful. So
without training anymore for the Olympics, is it kind of difficult? Are you trying to still train as an Olympic athlete just to stay in shape and different things and not, you know, just kind of, okay, I'm going to train, but really put that professional type of training involved still to keep your structure throughout the day, especially when you're working from project to project, but you still want to have that structure that an athlete, that a professional athlete has, right?
Well, that is a great question that you asked me. Actually, you know, once I got done running at first, it was hard for me to keep the structure. I didn't really have that morning practice to wake up for, and I found myself slipping off of my workout regimen, off of my healthy diet, and I just didn't feel good. And I started working with a product called Vitalis, taking their shakes in the morning as a meal replacement, and it really helped me be more disciplined. I saw a difference in my body. And I'm back now. I ran 4 miles today. I'm running for enjoyment, and that's a lot different, but it's a lot of fun. It's a great change. You know, running as a professional athlete was very difficult. It's very strenuous. There was a lot of pressure, and sometimes it wasn't always as enjoyable as I would have liked it to be, but just being able to go and run and play my music and just feel good has been great, and so I'm back on my workout regimen.
And by having that where you still want to stay in such great shape, you're putting that time and effort in that kind of keeps your structure throughout your day. Because if you don't do something that you're used to doing so much when you train, I mean, I'm dealing with a lot of people like Siobhan Stoddard, I talk to a lot, and I talk to a lot of other Olympic athletes, and they're constantly talking about their training routines, and it's amazing how much you train that if you kind of, like you said, stop and you don't have those things to go to anymore, it's pretty difficult to keep your routine in everything that you do if you don't have that regimen.
Yes, and you could even find yourself kind of feeling a major hole in your life. You know, I ran full-time. That was my only job I've ever had my entire life, and I would practice for hours and hours a day, and losing that and losing being around your training partners and not seeing your coach, who happened to be my brother, those are a lot of changes, and you just have to try to, you know, continue to be motivated, to be fit, to feel good, to be healthy, and to have that same purpose and drive. And my purpose and drive is not about winning medals anymore. It's about having a healthy lifestyle, about feeling good, about looking good. I don't want to kind of lose my physique and not feel good. And so that's what's motivating me now.
And so when you talk to former athletes that have done what you were doing at first, where you kind of hit that hole and they're starting to get down and they might gain the weight back in certain ways, you want to talk to them about how important it is to maintain that healthy lifestyle, because a lot of times you're forced into that. And then when it's over, look at some of these professional NFL athletes. Either you see some of them, you know, that have a really muscular, but they decide, you know, they get really obese, or the other way around, they lose the weight to live healthy. So I think that that's the key thing, is a healthy lifestyle. And I think you're going out there and talking to people about that, aren't you?
Yes, I am. I'm trying to spread that to my Olympic teammates that have retired, to my family, to my friends. I want everyone to be aware of the fact that, you know, being healthy is a lifestyle, it's a commitment, and it's just so important, and it spills over to all aspects of your life. If you show me a healthy person, you'll show me somebody who most times is successful, that is able to operate on a high level, has good energy. I just think it all goes hand in hand, and so I try to remind people of that. And like I said, you have to make the time. You know, today I had to wake up early and make the time to run 4 miles and do my ab workout, and I felt very confident accomplished. It was a great way to start my day. And I can tell the difference when I miss a workout or when I sleep and I just don't feel the same. So.
Exactly. And that's something that it's a challenge. It's a challenge in a lot of ways to continue through that process. So your other projects, they're off and on. So that's why you have to have that structure to keep going. And as an entrepreneur, keeping it going in so many other ventures as well, it's not as easy as, okay, I'm just an athlete. I'm scheduled throughout. It's a process. For example, me as a teacher, I taught for so many years, now being an entrepreneur where I run a tutoring consulting company, but yet most of it takes place after 3 o'clock. To have the structure and have the order by putting a workout in every day really helps in many ways because it keeps that structure throughout. Because again, you can get caught up in different things and say, where did your day go?
Before you know it, you know, the day is gone and you don't get your workout in. There's so many responsibilities that we all have. We're parents, we have a job, we have things to deal with in our household. And it's so easy to put your health and your fitness on the back burner. But really, I think that it has to be the first thing of anything. And like I said, it kind of sets up your life. It sets up your day in a very, very good way. So I'm really trying to focus on that.
So your latest projects are coming up after this. Anything else going on? You're doing the local TV gig. You're doing NBC. Are you doing a bunch of talks as well?
I do anti-bullying talks, and I have a few in Georgia coming up this year, and I'm trying to get some more. I really enjoy going out to schools and talking to kids about self-esteem, about bullying, about how we treat each other. And I kind of fell into it, and it's something that I'm very passionate about. So I'll be doing some of those talks. And also, hopefully, more television opportunities will come my way. So I think it's going to be a great year. I'm excited already about how it started out, and I'm going to continue to push towards my goals.
Well, that'll be a great topic for the next month's segment. We'll talk to your dad next month, and then in March we'll talk about how everything's going with the bullying campaign and other projects as well. Again, Hazel, if you put that your mindset just like you did as an athlete, you'll accomplish anything because, again, you set goals, and how many people have the opportunity to be Olympians? Not many. And from that,
That's right.
The hard work and effort to continue to be successful. So where can we find more information on you, Hazel? Learn about Visalis and some of the other things you're doing.
Well, I am actually revamping my website right now. I have a Facebook fan page, Hazel800 at Facebook.com. I have my Twitter, which I'm often on, which is HazelClark154. And I'm revamping my other websites, but if anyone wants to contact me on Facebook or Twitter, I'm always answering questions. And like I said, I'm a part of Visalis. Someone's ready to make a change in their life. Today is a day to start. And, you know, take hold of your health, take hold of your fitness. And Visalis is a wonderful product. I've been able to try a lot of products throughout my career, and I have to say that it tastes great. It's pretty easy to make, and it has great results. So.
Well, Hazel, thanks again for coming on the show. Look forward to our monthly segment, especially with your dad next month. So take care, and we'll keep on contacting each other through Twitter. So thanks again for calling.
Okay, thank you so much. Have a great day.
You too. All right. All right, that was Hazel Clark Riley. You're listening to the Total Education Celebrity Show, and we'll be back in just...
Yes, as an actress, she's a producer, and, you know, obviously being in Hollywood, you know, that can be a tough place to operate. There's so many aspiring actresses and producers and so forth, and our next guest is being able to be a constant working actress. She's been in numerous TV shows, movies, you name it, she's done it. And so please welcome to the show, Vida Ghaffari. Vida, welcome
Hello.
To the show.
Hi. Hello, good morning. Thank you so much to the both of you for having me and working me in your schedules. I really appreciate it.
Oh, I'm excited always to talk to you, Vida. We have our blast on the Total Education Network, and now we're getting you on the Beach Lifestyle Show because I think I want to learn more about, you know, we talk about projects all the time, but I really, the thing that makes Vida different, GJ, than anyone else in Hollywood that I've dealt with is that basically she's a journalist as well. So that's where we kind of really created a connection and lot of ways, Vita and I, because of the she's a journalist, but also I see you as an entrepreneur as well, Vita, because you try to find voiceover work. You're not just constantly just looking at, as an actress, right? You're trying to be the jack of all trades to survive in Hollywood and also be successful, right?
Yeah, I'm trying to. I feel like if you just do one thing, you're kind of held hostage by it. I think it's good to do different things, especially now with all the technology and with, you know, social media. I think it really behooves an artist to do different things and different kinds of journalism as well. I've done print, I've done broadcast. So it's good to spread yourself out, but not too thin. So.
Right. And GJ spoke of this at his conference. He's at the leadership conference about spreading yourself too thin. And it was very interesting. And I think, GJ, you can mention a little bit what Darren said about it that we talked to our audience about earlier today. Right, G?
Correct. And, you know, I'm going to go back to the point that Vita talked about, you know, just doing one thing and being held hostage to it. That definitely can be a key. What we found is finding different things that go hand in hand. So everything goes hand in hand. When what we've done is create everything to go hand in hand. So we have multiple things going, but they all feed each other. And it sounds like that's what you've been able to do for yourself, Dita. So if you could articulate to our audience what you've done for yourself and how you've done it, and maybe some of the struggles that you realize so that you can move forward and overcome the challenges that you might have been faced.
Definitely. You know, I think through time we can do so much with social media, but I think in the end game of all of it, I think for all of us to some extent, I know this is the case for Neil and myself, that it's a people business, and you have to interact with people. So as nice as the social media and all that is, I think what's really helped me is interacting with others, finding like-minded people. I think what really helped me the most is getting a mentor for everything that I'm interested in. In voiceover, I took the most amazing class at a local community college, and it was taught by this wonderful man named Doug Rye. He's like a legendary voiceover guy. I think he's the voice of a few shows on Discovery and all those channels. And he is just an amazing guy, and he hooked me up with a really great group, like a voiceover workout group. And I think another thing is, if you don't know the right people and you don't get in with the right people, like you said, L.A. can be a scary place, and there's a lot of scams. So I think if you know the right people, they can kind of put you in the right direction. It's not so much knowing somebody to get a part. Those rules have changed. And I will tell you, being a survivor of Los Angeles' pilot season for television shows, it's a whole army. It's a whole tribe of people that hires you. So you can't really say, oh, you know, I know this producer or I know this director. I mean, sure, I'm sure that helps. But overall, I think anybody you see on TV now, you know, it's really changed over the years. Or in film, you know, you have a whole studio system that you know, dictates what you like and what you not like, what you don't like. So I think what really helped me was finding a right mentor, pinpointing what I wanted to do, strengths and weaknesses. Like, I have a lot of interests, right? Like voiceover. I'm not going to do like everything voiceover. I'm just going to go for commercials. Sure, I'd love to do animation. I voiced a role in an animated feature, but I'm not going to totally jump whole hog in animation. I'm going to do it bit by bit, piece by piece, because I'd end up having like, you know, 50 goals for the month of January. So it's ridiculous. And for reporting, I mostly do red carpet events. I've done press junkets. I've done different things here and there, but I might as well focus on, mostly I get red carpet film premiere events at film festivals. So I'd rather focus myself on that. I'd rather be really specific. And I'm sure you talk about specificity, of course.
Well, exactly. And let's go right to, I guess, the story, because as Vita knows, and Gigi will find out, that she keeps going on and on and on. And that's why when we have conversations, we're sitting here and saying, oh, well, we have to be somewhere, and we're talking for 45 minutes or an hour. And she has such tremendous ideas. Right before the new year, she gave me some motivations about what I'm doing with radio. And I wish I had the time to be able to develop all those different things. But let's talk about the story. What made you go to Hollywood? First of all, you have a degree. You went to college, you got a journalism degree, but what made you want to be an actress? How did you kind of like put those things together into one package deal that where you're at now?
Actually, actually minored in journalism. My dad is like a very traditional Persian father, and he wanted me to work at the World Bank. And I'm not good at math, and I'm not good at numbers. And I think his reasoning behind that is I think there's a certain kind of tax they don't pay. But anyway, long story short, I ended up working in journalism. I minored in journalism. I worked on Capitol Hill, but I was more concerned with what people were wearing. And I hate to sound so trivial. I was more concerned with stuff like that than I was with, and given my background, they'd give me a lot of Middle Eastern events. And always on my papers, the teachers would say, "You seem like you'd be a tabloid journalist," or I get like little comments like that. And I just love, you know, I love television. I love films. And I think when I came out here, I started as a journalist. And when you work as a journalist, the door opens to get roles playing journalists because they want real journalists, especially like when it's something international. So I did that, and then I realized I really enjoyed the on-camera work. I had done plays in college, but it was never at this level because I really think that LA is the Olympics of acting and the Olympics of many other things. But it seemed like it was a natural progression for me, and I really enjoy that more because my friends that are just actors, they get so stressed during pilot season, whereas there's other things I can do. I mean, I know that I'm in a million directions, but at least if one thing hits, then, you know, another thing doesn't necessarily hit, I'm okay with it. But that's basically been my progression.
Well, and let me address this and go right to GJ. The point, just kind of to talk about this. I think that your thought process of looking at journalism has led you to acting is the same thing that's happened with me in radio. It's led to me to many business opportunities that if I would have just run a tutoring and consulting company, I would never have met people like GJ. I would have never met all these Hollywood people. I don't know many people when I could go talk about. You know, guess how many birthday messages, Vita, I got? 140 some on my wall. 3 years ago, I was lucky to get 20. So I've kind of positioned myself. Radio is a great way of networking. And Gigi, I think that's the other thing that a lot of entrepreneurs have to look at. You might think you have a certain skill set, but that skill set's going to change based on relationships. And it seems like that's what Vita was able to do to position herself where she is today.
Well, absolutely. And we all have, all three of us have come together because of certain choices we've made to, you know, inspire whatever we were choosing to do and become good at that. And Vita, you touched on several key points is, you know, look, you're following your aspiration and listening to that inner self is really what you've been able to do. And then saying, hey, you know, even though I'm on this path and it's a good path, there's something a little bit more, there's something a little bit different that I'd like to do. And so that, you know, that was the main highway, and you took a detour that brought you onto a bigger highway. And I've done the same thing. Neil's done the same thing. And that's how we got to together, being an entrepreneur, writing a book, and then being interviewed by Neil. And next thing you know, we have a radio show together, and to help, you know, move what we do further and inspire. And so you've been able to do that yourself. And probably the most important thing that you've shared is finding a mentor, in the topic and the category that you're looking to do, whether it's for enjoyment or whether it's for business, and then learning from the best so you can become the best that you're capable of being. And so, one, I thank you for honoring yourself to do that. And then, two, being able to do that. And three, being able to share that with other people to go do that. So that, one key thing for our listeners, go find a mentor that is in the area that you're looking to perform at. And that will definitely help you much better, much easier, and you'll become much better for it. So thanks for sharing that.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Well, you're welcome. So where are we able to find more information on you? I know we started off the segment before the segment is that we feel like we know each other just because of Twitter, and you touched on another component. You know, it's relationships and building that customer relationship, and you've done a great job of that. So where are people able to find more about you and so that you can inspire them further?
Thank you very much. I'm on Twitter under my name, Vita Ghaffari, VidaGhaffari. I'm on Facebook as well, and IMDb, of course. And, yeah, that's basically where you can find me.
And I'm waiting, Vita, for when I come to L.A. with G.J., how you're going to get us a part in a movie, right? G, you and I together.
I'm going to do my darndest.
Yes, so I'll shave my head, you know, maybe hit the tanning bed.